Given the arrest of four former soldiers Friday night, does it seem to you like a major obstacle has been removed for prosecuting Civil War era crimes?
This is a long process. You know, I think this is a major step in that process, but there is a long way to go. But I think it's spectacular that the Salvadoran government decided the very same day that Coronel Montano was in order to, you know, the order was approved to extradite him to Spain, that the Salvadoran government also moved in the same direction, which I would assume that it might have some connection or some, you know, blessing, you know, from the United States.
You mentioned retired Colonel Inocente Orlando Montano. Can you explain who he is and his connection to the case?
Well, Montano, you know, was a member of what was called La Tandona, the class of military that was ruling during the war. And he himself, you know, would be in charge of a number of massacres that happened during the war. So he was detained in the U.S. for something else. You know, he was lying to a immigration temporary protective status, and that's how he was identified as, you know, somebody related to, you know, these massacres in El Salvador. And after, you know, he served his sentence of 21 months, he was detained, and Spain claimed him. Several months passed, and then last week, finally, you know, the order was issued to extradite him to Spain.
This case in particular, the massacre on the campus of the University of Central America, now spans three countries: Spain, where the legal proceedings are occurring, the U.S., where Montano has been living, and El Salvador, home to the majority of those suspected of carrying out the massacre. Why hasn't the case been prosecuted in El Salvador?
Well, no cases have been, you know, brought to justice in El Salvador. You know, El Salvador has maintained this powerful wall behind amnesty, even though amnesty doesn't apply to cases of crimes against humanity. But no judges or no part of the legal system has been willing to take any case. You know, the case of the Jesuit is just one of many. You know, we have over 264 massacres, including, you know, the largest massacre in Latin America, El Mozote, where military, you know, has not been, you know, brought to justice. You have the case of the Archbishop, you know, Romero, you know, who is in the process to be canonized, that no investigation has happened in El Salvador. You have the case of the four U.S. church women. And then, you know, the hundreds of disappears and assassinations. The case of the Jesuits itself, you know, is an important one because, you know, this was not, you know, a death squad, you know, which many incidents happened related to the death squad. This was the high command of the military. This was not, you know, three, four soldiers, you know, out of control that went and did the assassination. 400 people were involved. You know. We're hoping the three things happen in these cases of violations of human rights. You know, one is that the truth is known. Two, the justice is made, and then the reparations happen to the victims. So we hope that this will move things forward, not only for this case, but open up for other cases.
Bringing it back to the present day, El Salvador now has one of the highest murder rates in the world, with homicides at a level unseen since the Civil War. There's also been a major exodus of people from El Salvador, citing the violence as a reason for leaving. How does the present day violence connect to the past, and is there a way to work towards a resolution accordingly?
The situation is very complex, but one component, you know, will be the impunity of the 80s, you know, how you go ahead, and in this case, the government, the state, you know, goes ahead and kills, you know, six Jesuits and two women, and nothing happened to the perpetrators. That impunity is a signal that you can, you know, a young person can, you know, secure a weapon and kill, you know, people in his community, and nothing will happen to them. Then there are other, you know, root causes of immigration, including, you know, these free trade agreements. You know, we need to remember that before the free trade agreement with Mexico, there were only 2 million undocumented in the United States. 10 years after the agreement, over 10 million undocumented. So these policies, these very unfair policies, come and displace people, you know, especially in the countryside. You go to the city, you don't find anything, and then, you know, many tend to go north. So we need to address also the economic policies, you know, simple things like Walmart coming into El Salvador, you know, and displacing thousands of jobs, or a Coca-Cola coming into a community and capturing all the water of that community and leaving people in with no water. So there are other injustices that go on to promote immigration.
Jose Artiga, anything else you'd like to add?
I would say, you know, let's follow these cases and express our support to, you know, justice. You know, I think that we need to be fair and contribute to the healing, you know, of these cases that have been gone for, in the case of the Jesuits, for 26 years. I have a very personal connection to this case because Elba, the woman that was killed, Elba and Selena, work with my mother. You know, they will come and help in the house. So these were almost, you know, relatives of us that that were killed in that November 16th of 1989.
Jose Artiga is the executive director of the Cher Foundation. He joined us by phone from Berkeley, California. For FSRN, I'm Shannon Young.